My son Julian recently turned 12 years old. It was his champagne birthday. He turned 12 on the 12th. And as I enjoyed the last of his preteen birthdays, I couldn't but help reflect back on the early days of his life. His birth marks the date I became a father. Like all new dads, I was a total rookie, and he had my whole heart. So it wrecked me each time he would cry, and I couldn't find a quick way to assess his needs and soothe him. I felt helpless and heartbroken. When he was a few months old, I reached out to a friend and a seasoned father for some advice. He smiled and assured me, "Better days are coming, Sean. Better days." I needed those words. They gave me strength, reminding me that one day I would no longer need to guess in order to meet my boy's needs, that this cherished but challenging season was not going to be our whole story. There is a strength in knowing that things will change for the better. Of course, this is a lighthearted reflection, and those days were filled with much joy. But when we are struggling, we must hold on to the hope of a better day. As we come to the end of 2020, what do you hope for? Are there things that you would like to see change for the better? It has been a difficult year for all of us in different ways. As of this month, there are now over 80 million cases of COVID-19 in the world, and about 600,000 cases in Canada. Globally, we are approaching 2 million COVID-19 deaths. We find ourselves constantly under the threat of this virus. In the wake of a vaccine approval, our country has restricted travel with an effort to contain a new strain of the virus. Can we dare to hope for better days as we anticipate this coming year? Can we find certainty in our circumstances? We're going to explore the hope we can find in the Christmas story together as we conclude our series, "Behold, I Will Do a New Thing." We're going to see how God does something new for two elder Jewish believers in Scripture named Simeon and Anna. To fully appreciate the story of Simeon and Anna, it is important to first understand the broader narrative of the time in which they were living. They were living in Jerusalem, and Israel was under Roman rule. Augustus Caesar was at the height of his power. He turned the Roman Republic into an empire, proclaiming himself as the divine savior who has brought peace to the world. He also declared his adoptive father, Julius Caesar, to be divine, so he could style himself as Son of God. Augustus was Rome's king and lord, and many people even worshipped him as a god. It was a difficult time for Simeon and the people of Israel. Caesar was hostile to anyone who would not declare him Lord. In today's scripture reading, we see the significance of God's promise of a Messiah, a true Savior and Lord, who would rescue Israel and through whom peace would come to the world. Baby Jesus would be hailed as Son of God. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, we read, "At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah." This was what Simeon had lived for, the promise of a better day. Simeon faced challenging circumstances, but because he trusted God and relied daily on the Holy Spirit. His life was filled with forward momentum, anticipation, confidence, hope. Simeon doesn't get top billing in the cast of characters that play a role in the Christmas story. In fact, he could be written off as an extra. He is not as well known as the shepherds and the magi. When I was around 12 years old, I was thrilled to be asked to play the role of Joseph in a Christmas play. I don't recall anyone being excited to be Simeon, because Simeon comes onto the scene after the big event and leaves the story so quickly. However, he offers a significant message for us. His life was surrendered to God, and he was faithful. Simeon understood that anyone who wants to walk with God needs to wait on God. It is difficult for us to wait for anything in our fast-paced world. Everything is on demand and moves so quickly. Technology is advancing by the second. Most times when I find myself waiting, I'm not truly waiting. Instead, I am being productive on my smartphone, or at least I'm being entertained through it. But we used to wait. Do you know there was a time that on Boxing Day, before you could shop online, to get the best deals, you had to get up early on December 26th and line up at your favorite store for hours. Sam the Record Man in Toronto had a huge deal on Boxing Day. The lineups would begin around 5 a.m. But if you made the effort and waited long enough, you could have some great new music to enjoy all year long, with the deep discounts waiting through those double doors off Yonge Street. Waiting is essential for our faith. There is no way around it. We need to wait when we want God to turn things around. We need to wait when we want God to take evil and turn it into good. We need to wait on God when we want him to do a miracle and to reconcile an estranged relationship. We need to wait on God to take all the hurt and all the pain and transform it into something good for us. Yet, in our culture, we often equate waiting with wasting. Simeon understood that when we are waiting on God, he is working in us. He embraced his divine delay by believing better days were ahead. Simeon was always living in anticipation. There has been academic research done exploring how thinking about the future affects our decision in the present. Results exploring health behavior intentions and smoking revealed that a stronger present time orientation predicts greater intentions to smoke, while a stronger future time orientation predicts greater intentions to quit smoking. Believing better days are coming is literally better for you. C.S. Lewis has said that Christians who have done the most for the present world were those who thought the most about the next world. Being future time oriented also allows us to be more effective in living out our faith. Simeon had the kind of faith that trusted there were better days ahead. And because of that faith, he was about to encounter God doing something new. When Jesus was just over a month old, Mary and Joseph brought him to Jerusalem to present him to God. It was the custom at the time for faithful Jewish parents to present their firstborn to the temple. When this day came, Simeon was there and was deeply moved by the Spirit. And we read, "That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Just imagine the scene. All his life, he had waited for this moment. Any doubts or fears that were in that moment were wiped away as he held the baby boy in his arms. Everything was made complete and made sense in that moment. When the artist Rembrandt was 25 years of age, he painted Simeon's Song. He was a master of using light in his artwork, but this image is powerful in demonstrating the way in which Christ illuminates light in the darkness. He demonstrates visually Simeon's verbal expression about the light and the dawning of a new day. Imagine not only seeing the Messiah after so many years of waiting, but being so close as to hold him in your arms. This is what Christmas is about. Simeon had placed his hope in the Messiah and now was able to experience his deliverance and nearness. He was not alone in his celebration. Anna steps into Simeon's blessing as well. She too was faithful and deeply committed to God. In the Old Testament, it says, "The Lord is good to those who hope in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." God had come in human form and entered into an intimate relationship with us. Christmas made friendship and nearness with God possible. Sometimes the new thing God gives us is unexpected and more beautiful and fulfilling than we could ever imagine. The year 2020 has been very unexpected. I had a plan for this year, and I imagine you did too. As painful as it is to live through our current reality, I wonder whether the work of waiting on God will lead us to better days. What would it be like to hold on to God's promises with relentless trust and surrender? Let's read together how Anna lived this way, waiting and trusting on God completely. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. The second person in today's scripture is Anna. Anna is one of the few women prophets recorded in the Bible, so we know that her place in this story is important for us in understanding God's heart. She had lived a difficult life. She was 84 years old and widowed for most of those years. Yet, she trusted that better days were coming. She trusted that he was doing something new in her life. Simeon and Anna were looking for a rescue and instead received a relationship. The anticipation and hope they had for the arrival of the Messiah to save them from their situation led them to a Savior they could know forever. You see, the story of Christmas is not so much about Jesus taking something away from us, but about giving himself to us. We may not find immediate freedom from our circumstances, but we can find rest in our closeness to Christ. The beginning of 2021 is almost here. Even in less eventful years, it is tradition, as we flip the calendar over to the new year, to make resolutions to live a better life. Traditionally, this is the time gym memberships rocket, diets launch, dieting sites get huge increases in subscriptions, and we feel a surge of energy with our clean slate. It is us chasing the hope of something new, of better days. The pursuit of making improvements or commitments and pursuing growth is wonderful, but they typically fade away with time, and we are left with memberships we don't use, subscriptions we need to cancel, and forgotten diet plans. In Jesus, we are given more than a resolution. We are gifted with the invitation to step into a new life with the ongoing confidence that better days are coming. As a pastor, I have journeyed with many of you this year, and many of you have had significant losses. Loss of loved ones, freedom being taken away in various ways, mental health challenges that feel overwhelming at times, financial crisis, deep, deep loneliness from lack of connection with others. These pains don't end with a simple turn of the calendar. And yet, in your darkest moments, in the midst of your pain, you can be assured that in time, there will be moments or hours or days or even years of relief from the depths of this struggle. God's promises are not always quickly answered, and it is often necessary to wait. This was true for Luke's readers who were experiencing oppression from the Romans. It is true for Simeon, who waited his entire life for God's promise to be fulfilled. And it was true for Anna, who suffered for a lifetime as she trusted God. Even when Simeon is holding baby Jesus and Anna is telling everyone the exciting news, nothing in their lives in Jerusalem is going to change imminently. Caesar is still king. Israel continues to suffer. More waiting lies ahead of them. Yes, God has sent his Messiah as he promised he would, but he sent him as a baby. Jesus' work would not begin for years to come. And yet, God's promise to Simeon that he would see the Lord's Messiah before he died was fulfilled. It was a new world, a better day. Hope happened. This was a step in God's promise to rescue Jerusalem, but there was still more to unfold. There is so much to be expected about as we look at the new year and better days, but it's too much to expect to persevere in our waiting for these better days if we do it alone. Simeon and Anna were seeking the Messiah in their expected waiting. God gives us the promise that when we seek him, we will find him, and then we will have fulfillment. Their expected faith and trusting hope were enabled by God's Holy Spirit. They trusted God that his moment was something far greater beyond this time. And in truth, it was. It was a glimpse of eternity. The life God has for us is better than we can imagine. Simeon and Anna would have been satisfied with God's promise being about rescuing them from the Roman Empire. Instead, God introduced a new kind of kingdom, a new way of living, far more powerful than Rome. God's new thing in your life will be different than you may expect. And so he gives us gifts that help us wait for him, like silence, prayer, meditation, scripture, and special spiritual friendships. Today and every day, evidence of the kingdom can erupt through each of us whenever we submit our will and our relationships to God and what he calls us to do. And in your life now, with the struggles that burden you, better days are coming because of Emmanuel, God with us. Christ is near. Christ is with us. He left heaven and came to earth to be near us. For some, better days will be here soon, and for others, we will need to persevere and hope much longer before these better days are upon us. In fact, things got worse for Jerusalem, but God's plan was better. Don't put your trust in putting COVID-19 behind us. Put your trust in Christ the Messiah, who was born on Christmas Day. The promise Christ has given us through his life, the death for our sins, and rising from the dead assures us that those who follow, better days are coming.